You know, if I'm completely honest this morning, it's one thing to lead a group of students on a mission trip. It's a totally different thing to lead a faith family, regardless of our age, into a lifestyle of missions. And really, that's what we believe as a church we desire to do. That's why God has planted us in Albertville, Alabama, to worship, to grow, and to serve together. So my prayer this morning as we continue in this series and conclude this series called Renew is that we would be renewed this year. Can you believe it's already February? We've entered the second month of 2017. How fast life is passing us by. Would we live renewed? Well, welcome to my little restaurant. You know, I was thinking the other day as I was preparing, and thank you to Pastor Chris for allowing me the opportunity. He was the new and improved Chuck, and that makes me the new and improved Chris Johnson. Talk about renewed. Chuck with hair, that's what he is, okay. He said that, not me, Chuck, if you're still watching. You know, I think a visit to a dinner at a fine, upscale, expensive restaurant allows for a rich illustration for us. You see, there's a waiter who usually stands in the back, and he is waiting for an opportunity to serve. If he sees that person take the last bite off of their plate, he will remove the dirty dish. If he sees the glass gets half empty, he will make sure it is filled to the top. And if there's any highly nuanced motion on the part of the patron, that waiter is trained enough to see a need and to respond immediately. And you know, I truly believe that that is a picture of what we are called to be as disciples of Christ. It's a picture of what I believe it means to live a lifestyle of service, not just being involved in a mission trip, not just doing a service project, not just going somewhere, not just looking for an opportunity one day a week to be Jesus, but to actually look for opportunities to be a noticer, if you will. I think that's how Jesus walked this earth and how he expects his children to walk this earth today. It's to look for opportunities to serve and to be ready at a moment's notice to go, to serve. So let's begin with what I would call the Renew Review. And if you want to take some notes, we've included that in your worship guide today. But here's the Renew Review as we conclude this little series called Renew. You might remember we first talked about this idea of worship. We as a church desire to be a place where you can be a disciple, where you can learn and grow and worship as a disciple. And you might remember Pastor Chris several weeks ago told us that a disciple is somebody who has been and is being transformed by the Holy Spirit. Remember the analogy of the speedboat or the sailboat, the rowboat or the sailboat. It's allowing that divine wind, that Holy Spirit to fill us, to fill our sail as we raise it. And my prayer is that we would never be a refill station as a church where you come in and get you recharged so you can make it through the week. But that you would come to this place already worshiping. That you would not just attend a worship service or say, this is the hour of week that I worship God. But that you would already come worshiping to this place. That we may lift up our praises corporately together. And then you leave this place continuing in an attitude and a lifestyle of worship. That's what I believe it means to truly worship. To respond to God with all that we are. And then naturally that leads to the second part of our discipleship process as a faith family is to grow. Growing is not just about, you know, we are not just about making smarter disciples. You might remember us talking about the idea that we would be wiser and more mature disciples. I shared with our students, some of you may know that I've started taking an online class working towards my master's degree. And the idea of this class, which is called Family-Based Student Ministry, is the fact that I, as a leader of students, am not to prepare these students to graduate and be out of sight, out of mind. God has not called me, and sometimes I fall into this trap, and we as leaders in our area fall into this trap. God has not called me to prepare students to be mature high school graduates. My desire is that I would live a lifestyle and invest in students so much so that they would learn and grow to be mature Christian adults. You probably have heard the statistics They're alarming, and they get more alarming every year when a student leaves a church and heads off to college, and he's away from his family, and he's away from his church family, and he's away from those influences, and how quickly it is to realize, maybe this wasn't my faith, this was mom and dad's faith. Maybe this was just what I had to do for my 18 years before I'm off on my own. And they fall away from the faith and fall away from a faith family. My prayer is that we would never be a church that prepares people for the days ahead without thinking that there will be rough days ahead. That being a disciple is so much more than being smart or being involved or being here now, doing the church thing, putting on the church hat. To grow truly means to study God's word and to grow in Christ through prayer. I love the idea we learned about last week that prayer really does make a difference. Why would I talk to God if he already knows what's going to happen? Why would I talk to God if he already knows what I'm about to ask? Why waste my time? But I truly believe that as we studied last week, this book is full of truths related to the fact that prayer makes a difference. And maybe if you're like me, the biggest difference it needs to make is right here, is right inside my own heart. Before I allow it to make a difference in my home, in my workplace, in my family, with my friends, and everywhere else in this world God has called me to. So let me say this, if we are growing in him, if you desire to worship and to grow as he has called us to, then you understand you've been set free. We just sang about it. We've been set free. It is amazing grace. But my question is, what are we going to do with our freedom? Continuing to live like we have been set free, continuing to use our freedom to help others, or are we going to just say, I'm free, I'm good, let me get back to my life as I know it? And I truly believe the scripture, if you're looking with me in 1 Peter, we're going to look at chapter 2, begin in verse 16. And I want to encourage us today that our freedom to worship and to grow should lead us to the third aspect, which is to serve. To worship, to grow, and to serve, to allow us to be people who have been set free so that we can love others enough to see them set free and help others enough to understand true freedom in Christ. So if you would you stand in the honor of reading of God's word with me? I'm going to read to you 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll start in verse 16 to launch us out this morning. 1 Peter 2:16 says this, live as people who are free. And then he tacks on a warning, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Let me say it again. Live as people who are free because we've been set free, amen? Amen. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants. I love that idea of God. Father, would you speak clearly from your word today? Hide me behind your cross, as you change our hearts, change our minds, and ultimately change our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you're taking notes with me, I believe the first aspect of living this life of service is to truly just live as a servant of God, as the scripture calls us right here. See, serving is a lifestyle. And if we're going to live servanthood as a lifestyle, let's put it like this. Most of you probably have a job. Some of you consider your job retirement, and you probably realize that retirement is more work than before you were retired. I've heard plenty of people say that. But usually, if you have a job, you have a job description, right? You with me? You know what you're getting into. You know what's expected of you. You know if you don't perform by this job description, then you're not going to have that job very long. And it also gives you an opportunity to know, should I do this? Is this really who I am? Is this really fit into the mold of my life and what I'm called to be and do? Now, here's what I think. I believe our work as disciples would be our job description. And I would say that your job description and my job description is very simply to serve God and to serve people. You can replace that word serve with love. That's what the Ten Commandments were all about. They're broken up into two sections, in my opinion, to love God and to love people. And you know you can try all day to love people, but if you don't love God first, there's some people that it's hard to love. And likewise, do I truly love God if I find it hard to love people? The two are connected, serving God, serving people. What we like to call it here at First Baptist, worship, grow, and serve. And sometimes that means, let's just be honest, I'm wearing a tie today and you're thinking, it's about time he wore a tie. I'm taking it off. Because I believe it's time for us as a faith family to take off the proverbial tie, the proverbial coat. When we say, you know what, I've dressed up in my Sunday best for Jesus. But what if God wants us to be at our worst to meet somebody in their most lowest point, the hardest situation in their life, and we're too busy dressing up for God, if I can say it that way. We're too busy deciding that this lifestyle that I'm living is to be this plastic Christian with this plastic faith and to have my face on and to worship God and have everybody convinced that I serve God and I serve people like the job description says. Maybe I can go as far as to say worship services are great. I'm so glad you're here today. Mission trips are great. Serving on a team or a committee is great. Leading our students in a small group on Wednesday nights is great. Teaching our children in Sunday school on Sunday mornings is great. Giving of the resources that God has given you so generously is great. But your service is not a one-day thing. Your service is not a one-time effort. It is a lifestyle. And sometimes my fear is that we sit in the pew, we do what we think we're supposed to do, and then we go about our day. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, Justin, I've been going to this church for a long time, and I have no idea how I could serve further. I just show up and I tell people, just let me know if you need anything, brother. And I appreciate your willingness. But we as a church desire to see you using the gifts that God has called you to and given you so that you can influence the people that God wants you to that maybe you haven't even met in this church yet. You know, there's this little guide we put together. We call it our Next Step in Serving Guide. I don't know if you've realized this, but we as a church want to make this step-by-step process to walking with the Lord as clear as possible. That's why we define worship, grow, and today, serve. And before you leave today, I would love for you to grab one of these guides because inside you're going to find a list of opportunities for you to serve within this faith family. Justin, I'm already doing enough. I have no time, believe me. Three kids, my wife's in school, I'm in school, she's working, I'm working. I mean, we all have excuses of time constraints, but if God is calling you to do something, would you take the time to pray about it? Let me read you a few of these things. You could be a greeter, or you can work at a welcome desk. You can come on Thursday afternoons and meet these precious children that we're giving Jesus to that I fear hear nothing else but on a Thursday afternoon at our Cahill Kids Club about Jesus. You could be a team member on a Wednesday night helping serve food, feed the flock as I like to call it. You could be involved in short-term discipleship. You know, we've got classes like divorce care, grief share. We just started a young parents class, a young marrieds class. I mean, this is just to name a few things that there are opportunities in our church. And before you leave today, I'd love for you to stop by the welcome desk right outside those doors. Take one of these and pray through it. I'm not looking for people to sign up to do more in the church house. We desire to give you the opportunity to see what gifts God has given you so you can use those gifts to further his kingdom. Whether that's here or you do it somewhere else, just do it for Jesus. That's what I believe serving is all about. And I know our pastor a few weeks back referred to this, but serving in your shape, as we like to call it, I believe is how you understand what it means to live as a servant. Every one of us have a different shape. Every one of us fit somewhere and somehow. You remember shape stands for your spiritual gifts, stands for your heart, what you're passionate about, stands for your abilities, what you're good at, stands for your personality. Every one of us have different personalities and different drives and different things about who we are that allow us to minister in ways that others never could, and your experiences. As a matter of fact, I think there's a class coming up tonight at 5:00 where they're going to do just that. Help you find where you fit. Because my prayer is that you would realize and that I would realize that every one of us fit somewhere in service. Whether it's in this faith family, whether it's outside of this faith family, We just desire, as a faith family, to help you discover where you fit so that we can better serve him. And one of my favorite things about Jesus is the fact, and it goes back to this waiter analogy where he stands in the background. Sometimes, if I'm honest, if I want to be used by Jesus, it is tempting for me to want to take Jesus' place. You ever been there? Lord, I think you could use me for this. Let me just step into your role and take charge. You know that song, Jesus, Take the Wheel? Sometimes I like to say, Jesus, scoot over a little bit. You know what I mean? If I'm just being honest. And I believe understanding service as a lifestyle is for us to understand that serving with humility is what it's all about. Like that waiter standing in the background, humbled, ready to serve the Lord. I love James 4:10, how it says it like this. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. In other words, it's not my place to lift myself up in honor. If I'm going to live as a servant, let's forget about the honor I think I deserve and step back and let the Lord lift me up in honor in due time as I humble myself for his service. And lastly, living as a servant is for you and I to understand that just like the Savior, serving like the Savior. I love the idea that Jesus didn't say, here's the Ten Commandments that my Father has put together. I hope that works out for y'all. Jesus didn't say, I need you to love people and then leave us to figure it out. As a matter of fact, serving is meant to be done with all of our lives. Take Jesus for example. What better example? He traded his crown for a crown of thorns. I get excited, and I hope you do too, over the fact that the God of the universe stepped out of heaven into this world as humbly as you can to show us how to live, to model a life of service so that you and I aren't left here fumbling around trying to figure out, Jesus says I need to serve. What does that mean? What does that look like? I don't know if that applies to me. And all the while, Philippians 2, 5 through 7 remind us of what happened when Jesus set the standard, set the model. Listen to God's word, Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. In other words, he let go of those attachments. Instead, here's the flip. Here's how Jesus does it. He flips things upside down. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Why in the world would the God of the universe need to do that? It tells us when he appeared in human form. Which reminds me that we can call ourselves servants of the master all day long, but until we realize that it is this master who is our father, who laid his life down for his children, and we no longer are servants, those who know Jesus Christ, but we are sons and daughters of the King, and we sing Amazing Grace with sour faces. I don't think we get it sometimes, church. You are a son, you are a daughter of the King. Would we serve like the Savior? And then last but not least, more than living a life as a servant of God, I believe we're called to live a life as a follower of Jesus. Now watch the terminology, because I think we get confused sometimes. You know, it's this idea of being a fan or a follower, like I alluded to when we baptized last Sunday. Are you a fan? Or are you truly a follower of Jesus? I got a picture of this book that came out several years back. You may recognize it. Kyle Idleman wrote this book. It started as a book. It became a devotion. It became a study. It became a movie. Then they made a teen edition study of it. And ultimately, I believe it became a movement. This idea of not being a fan. I am not a fan. Being a completely committed follower of Jesus. So here's what I'm thinking. A fan, as he defines it in this book, is an enthusiastic admirer. And if we're being honest today, there are some Sundays I sit on that pew and I am an enthusiastic admirer of Jesus. I sing the songs, I clap. It's like I've got a poster of a movie star on my wall that just reminds me how cool Jesus is, and I sure do like him. But if it stops there and my enthusiasm doesn't lead me to follow the principles laid out by Jesus himself, to step out of my comfort zone and live as a servant and a son of the one true King, then I'm just a fan. I am not a follower. And I asked the question this morning, is this you? I mean, honestly, really, are you going to settle for just being a church? Just being a group of people full of Jesus fans? Or are we going to take seriously the call in the Bible, in the life that Jesus lived as a model for us to truly follow him? Now let's talk about the difference. Being a fan. Think about this with me. If you're like me, you grew up and I grew up learning how to really be a good fan of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? Went to youth group, went to church, made friends with those people, started acting like those people, learned the songs, learned how to raise my hand at appropriate times during those songs. I learned how to act at church pretty quickly. You know, that's really called behavior modification if you think about it. And then I would leave and I'd go back to my life because I saw my Christian friends doing it that way. I would leave the behavior behind and I would continue with who I was before I arrived. It's putting on the face. It's playing the game. I can't tell you how many times I believe I heard God's word preached at me and totally missed an opportunity for it to transform me. Let me say it again. How many times do we hear God's word preached at us and miss the opportunity with open hearts and open minds for it to transform us, to change our lives from the inside out like only Jesus can do, like only this book more than any other book, more than any other preacher, more than any other idea, more than any other religion can do? It's life change. Let's be honest, it's much easier to be a fan and to not be a follower of Jesus. How? Well, I'll tell you how. You cannot be a follower of Jesus by following something else. We live in a society that is all about social media. I think you've realized this. You've seen this button familiar? The follow button. Whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or Vine or Twitter. I mean, we follow, we like, we repost, we tweet, we do all kinds of stuff nowadays, but does that translate into who we are at our core? Because if I'm truly going to follow Jesus more than clicking a button, more than, showing up for church once a week, more than, yes, I read my Bible this morning, oh yes, I said my prayer before my feet hit the ground from the bed, more than going through the motions, more than clicking a button, I tend to believe that if I'm not following Jesus, it's probably because I'm following something or someone else. My eyes are on this instead of him. My feet are following this path instead of his. It's that whole thing. It always comes back to my will versus thy will be done. You struggle with that too? Everything I struggle with at its core comes back to my will versus thy will be done. What I want to do and what God wants to do better than what I want to do. As a matter of fact, Craig Groeschel, one of my favorite pastors, next to Chris Johnson, said it like this. Jesus never asked us to sit on the sidelines and cheer for his cause. Uh-oh. Stepping on your toes like mine? Let me think about my family. Chris and I were talking about this idea in his office the other day. You know, some of you have children. Some of you have children young enough in the home. Your children have a privilege and really the intimacy as you as their parent or grandparent. But they also, in my home, have a responsibility, a role to play. Everybody in the family does their part. Can that be said of our church? Can that be said of this family? You look around, you see your brothers and your sisters. Sometimes this side doesn't talk to this side. Sometimes this person never even realized this person's been coming to church for this long. Our family is sometimes disconnected. And we feel like, oh, I've got the privilege. I am a son or I am a daughter. I'm going to say amen to that, preacher. But that also means that it's time to step up in the family. And I only get one amen from that. Watch out. Let me finish with this. That's what being a fan is all about. Let's talk about being a follower. Because I believe with all my heart, whether you're watching online, listening on the radio right now, or you're sitting in this room with me, I believe I'm surrounded with a bunch of people who would wholeheartedly say, yes, I've been a fan. As a matter of fact, we talked about that with our students, and every one of them raised their hand and said, yeah, I'm a fan more than a follower most days. Myself included, by the way. But I believe I'm surrounded by a group of people that says, and I'm not going to settle for being a fan, Justin. I'm ready to be a follower. I want to live a life that is so much more than an enthusiastic admirer of this Jesus that we sing to, that we give money to, that we applaud when we believe he does something great in our lives, and maybe even do the opposite when things aren't going well. It's more than being a fan, it's being a follower. If you're ready to go deep, ready to get real, as I like to call it, ready to follow, here's how Jesus says we do it. You know Matthew chapter 16. Beginning in verse 24, it says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, there's that word, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Then verse 25, he follows it up with, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. In the world standards, this makes no sense. Why would I give up my life? This is my life. This is all I have here on earth. And we're so short-sighted sometimes. Our perspective is so here and now, and we're missing the point that if we are a son and daughter, like we talked about a moment ago, more than just a servant, and if service is a lifestyle, then it doesn't matter whose life it is here on earth because I belong to Jesus much further than the life I have here on earth. So let me break it down in simplified terms if you're writing it down. The three steps I believe Jesus is saying to us in this passage, what it means to truly be a follower. Number one, he says we need to give up. Now I know at first you're thinking, give up? Why give up? That raise the white flag, it's over, I'm done. No, what he is saying, you see it there in that passage, you must give up your own way. To Justin, that means no more fitting God into my agenda. It is actually finding out what he wants for my life and going for it with all my heart. Some of us in here today would say, Justin, the biggest step I could take in my walk with Christ this morning is to just give up all I have planned for myself, to give up my own way, to give up my desires and what I've wanted for so long for me, or maybe for my children, or my grandchildren, or my spouse, or my neighbor. My plans are so short-sighted if I allow God to take control. Give up. Secondly, I believe Christ is telling us this morning we need to take up. You know this phrase, take up your cross. And in other places in the scripture, it says daily. But can I just set us straight? For a long time in my Christian faith, I would read this verse and I think of that phrase that, you know, my grandmother always used to say. You probably said it too. Well, it's just my cross I have to bear today. And we think of it as burdens. We think that Jesus is saying here, I need to take up my burdens and give them to Jesus. And I think there's some truth in that, but I believe when you think about the cross that we so lovely glorify in our churches today, I was thinking this morning, we wear it around our neck, we've got it on the outside of our building, we light it up in our sanctuaries. 2,000 years ago, this symbol meant death and torture. And I was thinking, what if we could just follow me here? This is the youth pastor. What if we could go back in time, or somebody could time travel from 2,000 years ago and some Roman soldiers stepped in and sat on the back row and saw us glorifying what seems like the cross and never realized that it's the Christ who hung on that cross that is really the symbol that we glorify. See, it's so much more than jewelry. It is about Jesus. It's so much more than something that adorns the wall of a worship center. It is the reminder that it meant torture and death, but Jesus turned it into something beautiful and amazing when he died on the cross, because he died with our sins. And then, of course, my son was praying last night. I love the faith of a five-year-old. As he was praying when I was putting him to bed, Ethan says, "God, help us to remember what the cross means." And I thought, wow, he should get up here and preach. But then he takes it a step farther, a little preacher's boy. He gets this from his mama. Then he says, "But help us to remember that you came back to life." And that's what makes the cross worth it. Not the fact that Jesus died on it and that it stood for death and torture, but now it reminds us that it stands for resurrection and new life and freedom in Christ. And this morning, I want to be able to say, I'm going to take up my cross daily. I'm going to take up this symbol of torture and death. I am willing to die to myself that I may follow him. That's absolute surrender. That's who he's calling us to be. And third and finally, I believe Jesus is telling us to let up. If you try to hang on to your life, verse 25 says, you will lose it. Let go and let God. I know that sounds cliche, but trust your life into his hands. It's this whole idea of absolute surrender we just talked about. Let him have control is what Jesus is saying to me and maybe to you this morning. Let up the control of your life. You bunch of control freaks. If you're just like me, we are such control freaks. But God, forgive us for being a fan, thinking we got everything else figured out, and allow us to be a follower who says, you've got it figured out. Let me follow. Let me walk in your steps. Truly following and serving Jesus is not easy. And if somebody told you it was, you didn't get the whole truth. The benefits far outweigh the struggles, I guarantee you that. But it's not easy. Yet it is so worth it. I've been following Jesus long enough to realize, because I follow him now, my life has more meaning and purpose than ever before. And if anybody would come to me after the service and say, I just don't get it. I just don't think it's worth it. You don't know what you're missing, friend. More meaning and more purpose than ever before. So, church, let me ask you. Are you more of a fan than a follower? Are you more of a, let me do this, and I've conquered the serve aspect of being a member at First Baptist Albertville? Or are you somebody who desires to be a servant, a son, a daughter, who lives a life of servanthood, a lifestyle of serving Christ? Because worshiping, growing, and serving is not being renewed just for Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or once a month or once a week or whatever your service allows you to do in this place or outside this place. Worshiping, growing, and serving means living a life of being renewed daily. Amen. And that's my prayer for my life, for my family, and for this faith family, that we would live renewed, because we have been made new. And there are several people in your sphere of influence, where you work, where you go to school, where you hang out, where you get your hair did. I mean, you name it. We all have spheres of influence, and there are people in that sphere of influence who need to know what it means to be made new. May we live lives that desire to see that happen, because God chooses to use us as his servants, as his sons, as his daughters. Let me pray for us. Oh, Father, forgive us for going through the motions of this faith life. Forgive us for missed opportunities, like you remind us in John 13. We know better. And what we know, we've got to do. And I pray that we would be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word also, that we wouldn't just have the box checked for this lifestyle of worship and the box checked for this lifestyle of growing in you, But Father, that we would live lifestyles of service. That worshiping you leads to growing in you. And growing in you leads to serving as you and for you and serving other people around us. So I pray for my brothers and my sisters this morning that you would allow us to be people of integrity who don't miss opportunities to serve. Like that waiter who notice and who are ready to get on the front lines to love somebody. For those in here who you may be calling deep down inside to respond to the call of needing help in the nursery or needing help with our students or needing help with our young adults and families or needing help with our senior adult ministry, that you would remind us you've gifted us and shaped us all individually for service. And I pray that we would be people who serve you, who would actually get up and do the work you've called us to do. So help us to respond, Lord, whether we need to do business with you this morning at the altar, whether someone needs to come to pray with. Father, would you just move and allow us to respond? And maybe some in here have been attending for a while and realize, I need you, Jesus. This lifestyle of service is something I'm missing. And I pray that you would help them to respond to a call of salvation now. Maybe somebody, a call to join this church, a call to be baptized, or just a call to show up to a First Steps class. Father, however you lead us, may we respond now. We love you, Jesus. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.